In Wednesday night Bible study, we have been exploring spiritual warfare. All you have to do, folks, is turn on the news and you know we're in a war. And I don't necessarily mean the war all over the world where you have armies and navies and all of that shooting at each other. The Church of Jesus Christ is at war with evil. And we have, I don't know how to say it any other way, but just come right out and say it. We have allowed ourselves to be beat up too long. The power of the living God is within us, and we don't have to take it. And what we've done is we've started out, and we've allowed the devil to just knock us around. We've been waiting for one thing after another thing after another thing, and we just kind of hunker down in the bunker, hoping that the next onslaught is going to pass us by. But folks, that ain't how it works. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. Let me find it. Here we go. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. Now then, we're going to turn to chapter 10. Oh, y'all are still seated. The letter to the Corinthians, 10th chapter, beginning with the 3rd verse. Indeed, we live as human beings, but that we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, what is a stronghold? A stronghold is not just some little something that's easily overcome. Every time that there have been wars, human beings have learned that the best thing to do is to dig in and let people try to root you out. That's the way you can do the most damage a lot of the time, is to expand, get one little foothold in the territory, and then expand. So think about it like this. Think of the devil as spiritual honeysuckle. Have y'all ever tried to get rid of honeysuckle? Because honeysuckle will choke out every plant there. Honeysuckle is an invader. It will come in, and it comes in, and it smells so pretty for a little while until it chokes out everything else. We're losing forest to bush honeysuckle because it chokes out the living floor of the forest. When it comes in, it takes over. It is a spiritual honeysuckle is what the devil has done. He comes in with his little foothold of hate and fear and prejudice. He comes in with his little foothold of drugs and crime, abuse. Did you see the paper yesterday? a 27-year-old man, pornography of his own child. Folks, we're in a war. And the devil's got a foothold, and then he grew and he grew and he grew, and it almost looks like, if all you read was the news, that he's choking out the good in this world. But it's not true. But he's got more than he should have, because the church is hunkered in the bunker, just hoping that the next wave will pass us by. But we have weapons of spiritual warfare. We have weapons that we are to use to obliterate the evils of this world. You will never, ever, ever see peace until hate is gone. You will never see love until fear is gone. Those things are more powerful, yet they're not being spread. Because like I say, we're afraid. You know, sometimes I think Christians just kind of hope the devil ignores us. You know, we don't want to attempt anything too great because, you know, things are going pretty good right now. I don't want to call his attention to me. We're always afraid like Job. You know, how many of y'all, I'm just interested. How many of y'all have read the play of Job in the Bible? It's a play. How many of you read it? Okay, most of you have read the Job story. And I have to admit that when I started studying this, and I was really young when I started studying Job because it just totally fascinated me, that here was a man that had everything going for him, and he was a good man. It says in the Bible he was without peril. You know, parallel, I mean. He was just so good. He was raised his children right. He provided for his family. He had thrived and was generous and all of these things. And God sitting on the throne said, "Have you seen my boy Job?" And the devil said, "Well, of course, because, you know, you're so good to him. Of course, you know, he's good. But you take away his possessions, he'll curse you to your face." And the Lord allowed Job to be tested. Now, Job ended up losing everything, folks. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost his health. Everything that, you know, that we value, he lost. He still didn't curse God. He did curse the day he was born. Most of us have felt that way sometime or another. But he held on until he heard God speak. Folks, we don't have to hold on because the Lord has spoken through what he calls the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians 6:17. That is his word. The Bible is a sword. It contains truth. It contains promise. And that is the weapon that will defeat the devil. Know the word of God. How many ways can we say it? If you don't know it, you can't use it. The word of God is hiding in your heart. If everything's going good now, really study the word, because it's not going to go good all the time. You need to know what it says. You need to know the promises. You need to know what the Bible says you have and what the Bible says you can do. Because we have been given authority over the powers and principalities. We have that authority. We have more authority than the angels, i.e., we have more authority than the demons. Do you know that? How do I know that? Because the Bible says we do. We've got the authority. So why are we like this? Why are we hunkered down? Why do we hide? Because we fear the battle. But folks, no hiding army ever won the battle. We have a weapon called prayer. Remember the story of the disciples, and they were trying to cast out an evil spirit from this boy, and they tried and they couldn't do it. And they didn't know what was going on, and they came to Jesus with this little boy, and the father said, you know, your disciples tried to help my son, and they could not. And Jesus then cast that evil spirit away. And the disciples then said, why couldn't we do it? And he said, this kind can only come out through prayer. Prayer is a powerful weapon. And the beauty of prayer is you don't have to see the target. Think of it like a ballistic missile. It can go next door, or it can go around the world. Prayer is one of the most powerful things in the universe. You want to talk about your atom bomb? Nothing compared to prayer. Nothing compared to it. Now, God, disclaimer, it ain't magic. You hear what I'm telling you? God's still God. But claim the authority that we have. We have the authority over evil. We have authority over the devil. Not every bad thing that happens to you is a demon under a rock. You hear me? Don't see them everywhere. I caught a cold. It must be the devil. No. We live in a fallen world. Now, you know, if you want to go all the way back, then yeah, we can say that's, you know, the devil. But folks, we live in a fallen world. Bad stuff happens here, and not everything bad that happens is the devil. But some of it is. Strongholds are. How are you going to know the difference? Because in prayer, God will reveal to you the difference. God will show you the difference. Pray. And not only will the stronghold be revealed, it will come down. And this one's going to be kind of a shock to some of you. Praise is a powerful weapon. Now, we tend to think of praise as joy. Scripture tells us that the devil comes to kill and steal and destroy, and he positively hates the praise of God. He runs from it. He can't handle it. And when you feel like doing it the least is when you do it the most. Because it's not about how you feel. Just turn to somebody beside you and go, it ain't about how you feel. It is simple, just as you know, it's just not about how you feel. What it's about is we praise God for who he is, because he's God and deserves it. We call that adoration. And we praise God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do, and we call that thanksgiving. Adoration and thanksgiving. Powerful weapons against the devil. Praise. And like I say, when you feel like it the least is when it's probably going to be the most needed. When times are hard, it's difficult to smile, much less sing. Right? Am I right? But the Holy Spirit living in you can give you that praise that you didn't even know was still left in there. I just picked two. Y'all remember the story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho? Need to sing that song, Betty. We hadn't sung that in a long time. The Lord told Joshua to go to Jericho and march 7 times around. I think we sang that once when I first got here. I love that song. Y'all know that one? And the walls came tumbling down. No. But that's a good one too. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. How did they fight that battle? They walked around. How many days?
7.
The first 6 days didn't make a sound. On the last day, on the 7th day, they went around 7 times. And on that 7th time, what did they do? They shouted the praise of victory. They blew the trumpets, they shouted, and the walls fell. The praise of God tore down the stronghold. The praise of God in Chronicles, yet this one's not as well known. Jerusalem was under siege. And they were all worried that it wasn't looking a bit good. And the Lord told them to praise. And as they praised, the surrounding armies, more than one, got so confused by the praise, they started attacking each other and they all wiped each other out. Let the devil wipe himself out. Praise is powerful. I don't know who said this, but it's true. In a war, which army wins? The one that advances. The one that advances wins. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the army of God to stand up, to arm themselves, and to get out there and transform the world, because we've let things go too long. You are not going to wipe out drugs in Sullivan County by telling people drugs are bad for you. Are you? How long have we been telling people drugs are bad for you? Decades. Is it still growing? It's a stronghold. The Church of Jesus Christ has got to speak the truth to that stronghold and tear it down with our prayers and our praise and the truth of Jesus Christ, because I've got news for you people. If God don't set them free, they're not going to be free. And who's going to tell them if not us? Who's going to tell them? I've got one that's not up there. This is from Revelation. In Revelation, it says that the devil is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and our testimony. The blood of the Lamb and our testimony. Let me ask you, just don't want to see a show of hands because I might get depressed. How many people in this room, just don't raise your hand, have been blessed this past week? You've had some sort of blessing this past week. I know you've had it. Did you recognize it? Everybody in here has been blessed. How can I tell that? Because you're sitting here, breathing. Now, how many of you have told somebody about it and given God the glory for it? It's our testimony that makes the difference. The people that you know are the people that you can tell your story to. Leave the rest up to God, but don't be afraid to tell. You know, the devil's got people convinced that if you don't know the scripture backwards and forwards and can't take people down the Roman road and show them everything, this, that, and the other. You know, most of these people don't know the Bible anyway. And some of them don't care because to them it's not authoritative. What they get first is what you have experienced in your life. That you can speak to better than anybody else. Tell people. God has given you an opportunity this week. Don't say, well, you know, I didn't get an opportunity. If you were around another human being, you had an opportunity to praise God. We got to do it. If not us, who? You know, the last slide in our slideshow that we showed this morning, the one that Ross and Brenda put together, it said, transforming the world and we're really nice people. I love that. I don't remember ever actually seeing that on the sign out front, but I like it. It was on there. I'm sure it was. There was a picture to prove it. You know, we say all the time that is our mission in this world is to transform. To transform. One life at a time. Make disciples. Are you willing to say, I'm going to fulfill that covenant I made when I, one, became a Christian, two, joined the church, that my witness is going to make a difference? Because I got news for you. When you took that vow, God took it seriously. Did you? Because if you did, we're going to keep seeing the changes that we're seeing. I know for 2 weeks it sounds like I fussed at you guys. I hadn't really been after you yet. No, it's not fussing. It's trying to remind you of who you are, because I don't want to see my family beat up anymore. I want to see all of these people that I love living to their full potential. I want you to remember who you are and stand up strong. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.